The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others told you about me?" But Pilate said, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my attendants would be fighting for me to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You say, 'I am a king.' For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Today in the church, we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. Not infrequently, you'll see an invocation above the crucified Christ on the cross, I-N-R-I. We've seen that many times. That's Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You'll see that thing over the cross of Christ. The notion of kingdom and Jesus being a king had a certain application way back in the past, which would not fit our culture and our awareness today. Way back in the beginning, Christ the King had a meaning that we would not relate to today. Even 500 years ago, when Ignatius wrote the Spiritual Exercises, because he belonged to the royalty and he belonged to a culture of armies and conquering armies, and that was the church in those days, he references many times in the exercises belonging to the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God that will conquer the world. But that does not fit our awareness and our frame of reference today. Nor did it fit the very early church. If you read the Acts of the Apostles, which is a chronicle of the early church, up to about the year 65, when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, so we have a diary of the early church. And there is a reference in there about Saul, and the conversion of Saul, where he becomes Paul. And he's on his way to Damascus. And he says he's going to Damascus. He was persecuting the Christians, the followers of Jesus. He says he's going to Damascus to arrest those who belong to the way, the hodos in Greek, hodos. They belong to this way of life. And that's a reference that fits us much better than relating to Jesus as king. Jesus came not to rule. Jesus came to serve. And therefore, belonging to the way of life is what Jesus teaches us in the manner of his life. It's God's visitation to us to teach us the meaning of following Jesus Christ. This is the Jesus Christ that taught us by washing the feet of his disciples, the undeserving disciples. He is the one that gives the Eucharist, shares the Eucharist with sinners. He is the one that welcomes and heals those who were regarded socially and religiously as unacceptable. He is the one that forgives without condition. No reservation. Everybody is forgiven. Whoever turns to the Lord is forgiven without reference, without condition. This is the servant Christ. He is the one that will heal and give life and give hope to those who have not merited this. The servant Christ. And he is the one who will suffer rejection, unjust judgment. He is the one that will experience great loneliness in his life. When we speak of loneliness, we speak of the loneliness of absence, which is somebody I'm missing being at home for Thanksgiving, or we have a moral loneliness, which is a loneliness of the soul. And then we have radical loneliness, which is a loneliness of ingratitude after all I have done. And that's the radical loneliness of Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes through a great suffering and a great loneliness, and he goes to his disciples and he says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Because he was alone. He's so overwhelmed by suffering, by anticipating his death and the pain and the anguish of his death, that the gospel tells us his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's the human Jesus. That's the Jesus, the servant. That's the Jesus, the way. He will experience all of the radical human experiences that we share in our journey of life. That's the Jesus that will rise from the dead and call us into a new place. Jesus, the servant, not the king. Jesus, not ruling, but serving. That's the way in which we are meant to live our lives. Now, in St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, he has this to say: God proved his love for us, that when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were perfect, but when we were sinners. And this is the way, the hodos, that we are to live here. So what does this mean to us in our journey of life? It means that we are meant, as followers of Christ, to sow, not to reap. We have already reaped what was passed on to us. Think about your grandparents, maybe your parents. Were they immigrants? Were they poor people? I was in Ireland a few weeks ago and I went back to the church where my parents were married in 1933 and where they now rest. They're buried in the cemetery at that church. Remembering their sacrifices and remembering how they sowed a seed that I reaped, and now I have to sow a seed that the next generation must reap. It's not to cling to the past. That's the way. It's to prepare for the future. Change happens. You change, I change, the world changes, families change, the church changes. And our mission is to sow the seeds to prepare for the future. I baptized a baby yesterday here, little boy, belongs to a lesbian couple. They were fearful to go to our churches because maybe they wouldn't baptize the child. But this child is a gift from God. And these people are part of a church perhaps we have not known yet. That child is baptized into a church that we have not seen. Change happens. So how do we live a manner of life in following Jesus Christ to prepare for the next generation? That's the mission. That's what it means to serve. Not just to serve today, but to serve the future. We are already blessed with the sacrifices of those who went before us. When I think of my grandparents, they were born into a post-famine Ireland, went through extraordinary poverty and religious opposition. But they passed on something that has come down to me. And if you look at your history of your family, you'll find the same thing. Somebody sacrificed, somebody sowed, you reaped. Now it's time for us to sow for the next generation. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Fulton Sheen used to like to speak in the past about, in this manner, he would say, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict you? What do you think? Would they have enough witnesses to say, this person is a follower of Jesus Christ? This person knows the way. This person witnesses the way. The manner of this person's life, tell me, when you come together for Thanksgiving, you'll see change. If you haven't seen it before, just take a second look. You'll see a new generation thinking in a new way. How do we prepare ourselves to sow the seeds to bless the future which we will not see? That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. The blessings, the sacrifices that went before us gave us what we have today. And now, following the way which we have chosen, is to sow a seed now for a new generation and a new world that we will not see. Think about that when you come to Thanksgiving and when you come to Christmas. Think about that when you wonder, I sent my kids to Catholic school for 12 years and now they're Mormons. So what do I do? How do I prepare for another generation? How do I witness the divinity and humanity of Jesus Christ in my life? There's something very noble about being human. I was coming out of a rest home day before yesterday, and this man stopped me on the sidewalk and he said, are you a Catholic priest? And I said, I am. He said, I'd like to go to confession. I said, fine. We stepped over aside. I heard his confession. I was inspired by his humanity. He belongs to a world of nobility. There's something extraordinarily noble about being human, being humble, touching the fringes of your humanity in a full way. I thought if he was a priest, I'd like to go to confession to him, because I think he understands the way of following Jesus Christ. Amen.